Zedon, thinking out loud in color.
Does he know this is just audio?
March 1st, 2005. I'm Tim Shadle. Hi, welcome to Zedon. Last week we covered subversion and subversion control, and we've covered some stuff about peer reviews. So we've looked at a little bit of process. We've looked at Spring and the subversion. So we've looked at some tools for software development. This week I wanted to focus more on some of the concepts, the business concepts that you can put into Java objects. One of the things that I've dealt quite a bit with in different jobs that I've been at are some of the concepts surrounding money. And Martin Fowler's got a couple great articles and writings about money, some of the patterns that go with money. So this week we're going to be looking at some articles that he's written and talking. I want to talk a little bit about my experiences with handling the concepts of money in programs. It's, first of all, money has been dealt with in programming since my grandfather was programming. So it's been around forever. The concepts and the constructs with dealing with money, with doing accounting, and with with handling money properly are out there. They're well known, but it seems like in most places that I go, there's still some of the basic things are not really covered very well. Martin Fowler's got a chapter of his Patterns of Enterprise Application Architecture book that touches on money, and he's also got some writings from the IEEE Software Magazine that you'll find a link to in the show notes that talk about when you want to, that article specifically about when you want to create a type in, you know, whatever language. He's got some examples in C# and I think one in Java. But if you find with money, and you see this even with the examples that come with the JUnit cookbook stuff, is, you know, money is one of those things that you don't just want to have the amount. You want to know more about it. You want to have the amount. You want to know how precisely you need to calculate that amount. You need to, sometimes you want to know what currency you're dealing with. In a lot of the places I've been in, we only do U.S. dollars. We're never going to do anything but U.S. dollars, and we're very safe to stay within U.S. dollars. So a lot of times we'll omit currency, but if you've got a money object, at least if you need to add currency, you can provide, refactor that object by inserting the field to have currency around. A lot of the times I'll walk in and money's being, it's either done with floats or doubles. Some of the work that has been done where I've been at has been for doing some big financial things with a lot of numbers having some impacts on actual estimates that are given to people. And we've come across in using floats and doubles just rounding errors in the way that amounts are converted from integers to floats, has some operations turned on, done to them, turned back into integers, turned back into floats, and it comes off to, it's really not a matter of a lot of money, but there is noticeable round-off error, which really costs labor, time, looking into the bug, costs the business downtime, getting questions answered. So a lot of the basics of handling money weren't being done properly. So one of the things that we've done is we've introduced an object to represent money so that we get better handling of things like round-off errors. One of the things that Martin Fowler talks about in his Patterns of Enterprise Application Architecture with money specifically is a lot of times you have to know when you want to do division and when you want to actually split money up amongst several people. The two examples he gives is, say you need to calculate tax, and tax is always a percentage of a value. Well, what you want to do is take and do actual division and then round to the appropriate precision to get the value of how much tax you ought to charge. The other option is, say you've got the value of $100 and you need to split that $100 between three people. Well, you don't want to have any leftover money, so you provide an allocate function that allows you to take and split up the money properly and or as equitably as possible. And you know, in the case of $100, it's not going to divide exactly evenly among three people, but you need to allocate all of the money. And so he's got some good algorithms to go ahead and do that. Another thing specifically with money that you have to be aware of is how precise you're going to track it. For a lot of people, they're only going to go to the 2 cents off the dollar. But some calculations or some policies may require you to handle more. For us, we typically take it out to three decimal places that we're going to track money. There's also rules. If you're going to do floating point arithmetic with decimal integers, the actual built-in doubles and floats do not work well. They're optimized for base two numbers, and the divisions and stuff like that is around handling base two representations of numbers. There's actually a whole standard that's out there for handling base 10 floating point numbers, and in Java that there's been some changes made. So Java 1.5 or the 5.0, however you want to refer to it, has got some of the fixes in that were proposed by IBM to make it so that Java can handle base 10 numbers. Now the only way to do that is to use the big decimal class, so it's kind of a trade-off. Do you need all of the correct semantics that have been tried and tested and proven against a well-developed standard? If you need that, look into the big decimal class, java.biglang.bigdecimal. If you're using JDK 1.5, if you're using a previous JDK, then there's a jar file available from IBM. It's the IBM big decimal class, and that provides all the correct and proper semantics for fixed point handling of base 10 numbers. So that is something, if you're doing a lot of money, take a look at whether having the proven semantics is worth the potential performance trade-off, because in my experience, the manipulating the numbers to create, to do the calculations is usually not the bottleneck for the performance of my whole system. So obviously, application to application is going to depend on what you're doing with it, but you might take a look at the big decimal and get a feel for what the differences were, why it's important, and what you can do with it. I mean, it handles all the appropriate precision widening, and when you multiply two fixed point numbers together, how do you properly widen the number of decimals that you're keeping track of? How do you round back appropriately? You still have to make decisions about when you round. And for that, I think, I had a numerical methods course a million years ago. And they talked, one of the basic points of the numerical methods was that if you're dealing with finite digits, there are certain issues you have to address with when do you round, when do you truncate, how does that affect your outcomes. And so just having a basic understanding of the issues involved, I think helps you make better clarifications on when you want to round. the basics that we've started out with so far, that we do not round within one calculation. If the output of a calculation could reasonably be expected to be stored and used again as the input for a different calculation or entered by hand by another person, just take a look at the issues in rounding and come up with a clear policy of when do you round at all internally, do you round at the end of the function after multiple pieces have been performed, and make sure you understand the impacts of when you round and how that could affect, because even if you deal with the finite digit arithmetic properly, you still need to understand, you know, how rounding is going to affect your overall calculations, and that's really going to be application dependent. But it's important that the decision be made consciously. So when we turn money from just being a simple floating point into a class, we centralize the handling of the precision, we centralize the handling of the division versus allocation, and provide methods that are consistent in doing that. We also obviously get type safety, so you don't end up having just a number that gets thrown around. This can be good and it can be a challenge if you need to take and say have a rate that multiplies by a dollar amount, and you get a different kind of a quantity altogether. With general math, you have the canceling of units, and it all works out on paper. It's a little harder to do that in a programming language, to have units that will cancel out, and the final output is an object with the right type. To do things like that, you'd have to program APIs to take in the proper objects and return the new objects of the new type of unit. What we have done in several cases is because we decided to use the big decimals for the base 10 precision handling, like I talked about earlier, we have several different quantities that we want to control the precision of, and so they all inherit from that same big decimal, and at that point there's some functions that we can take and have a money class which it inherits from big decimal, and we have another type of rate or value which also inherits from big decimal, and then we can use and they're each fixed point values, then we can use the big decimal multiply methods or add or whatever to add those together properly, handle all the decimals, and the output of that is a big decimal number. So within one particular business function, we may have a parameter that comes in as a money. We do some internal work, which is after some multiplications or whatever, we're using big decimals internally, and then we will take and maybe the output is money. We'll make a new money object and return it. And make a new value object of a different type, so that external to this method, we're keeping consistent, we're keeping strongly typed, and but we're also getting all the benefits from being able to use the values that come out of the money class in equations or functions that require multiplication of different types together. So it's really something that has been able to the last point is, it's really having an object focuses the concepts in the code. It makes it clear that you're dealing with money, and it also makes it clear when you're dealing with money versus when you're dealing with something else. And I think having those concepts around really makes the code cleaner, makes it easier to understand, makes it easier to maintain. So those are some of the benefits we've had from moving money from just being a pure decimal into something that's an actual class, it's a type. I'd highly recommend you take a look at Martin Fowler's writings on when to make a type, and specifically how the money classes can be something that's useful in your code. So that's it for talking about the money class today. Tomorrow or later this week, we're going to be talking about accounting patterns and their applicability to writing some of your business code. So thanks for listening. If you've got something to say, go ahead and leave a comment on the weblog at timshadle.com, or send me an email at z.feedback@gmail.com. That's z.feedback@gmail.com. See ya.